Hey there, everybody. It's Frank. Just wanted to say a quick word of thanks to all of you listeners. You guys truly are the best, and we really appreciate all the great feedback we've gotten so far, especially those of you who have written us iTunes reviews and emails and tweeted at us. That's really been great. So if you haven't done that, we'd really love to hear from you. Leave us a review on iTunes, maybe while you're listening to the show. That would be great. If you would like to email us, it's beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. We'd love to read your emails on the show if that's okay with you. And finally, tweet us at Beer with Geeks. Maybe you have an idea for a show topic. We'd love to hear them. Thanks a lot and enjoy the show. Bye.
Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to episode 8 of Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our un-geeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Indiana Jones.
Oh. I wish I knew that we were doing that. I would have chosen so many people. Like, why? Fill me in.
I'm Jaws, and I'm Indiana Jones.
Why would you? I'm E.T. I'm Hook. I'm frickin' Mel Gibson in The Patriot. Like, all right, today we will be discussing considered one of the greatest film composers of all time, John Williams.
John Williams.
Tremendous talent, John Williams. Yeah, I was researching before we started. John Williams is 82 years old.
That's right.
Now.
That's right, and about to be working on
three Star Wars films.
A trilogy.
Like, I'm scared that he's gonna do like 7 and 8 and then die, and I'm never gonna know. Sorry, I'm never gonna know what the rest of that sounds like because he's.
That's sad. Yeah,
I hope he's just recording all the music over it. Like, he's just doing it all. He's writing it all before the
somehow,
movie comes up.
Somehow, before he's ever seen the films, I hope he does.
I gotta tell you, the man has a tremendous amount of energy. Even now, I saw him live last year.
Oh, that's right, I forgot about that.
I saw him live. He went back to the Pops, and I traveled that's my right. way there to see him because he was doing. Not only was he with the Pops, but he was doing his film
right,
scores,
right.
And I was like, why would you not go to that?
How can you not?
Right, and so. He did a lot of scores that were not of his usual variety.
Outside the usual repertoire?
Yeah. And so, I mean, he definitely hit some of the classics. But, I mean, there's a lot in there. Like, he didn't do Schindler's List or Saving Private Ryan, Jurassic Park.
He didn't do Jurassic Park.
He didn't. I don't think he even did Harry Potter. If I remember correctly, there were a lot of things he didn't do. He didn't do Superman.
Wow.
He did do Hook. It was actually the finale of the first act, which was glorious.
That's
because
great.
He did. There was this whole film montage about flying, and it was flying to Neverland music,
right?
Like do 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 bum 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 do do. It's like, you know, it's John Williams when some music goes bum 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 bum.
It's so characteristic.
Yeah. And so that was great. He did something from Lincoln, if I remember correctly. But one of the best parts is that he did the opening scene of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and we watched the whole scene without music, and he explained how you write the music, how it goes into the film at that time, and then like how you have to time and everything. And then so we watched the Pops perform the piece live over the movie.
Oh, that's
and
so, so cool.
Perfectly timed. And I mean, people, of course it's perfectly timed. That's what they have to do for a living.
Right,
you know?
Right. But it's an amazing thing to see it live.
Well, yeah, it was
they
so
get one shot at
cool.
it, you know?
So, and that was actually one of the first places he officially announced that he was coming back to do Star Wars 7, 8, and 9.
You were at that show?
I was at that show.
I remember listening to a Star Wars podcast that I listened to, Rebel Force Radio, great show. And they had audio from that show.
Yeah, I was there.
Where he was announcing it.
Yeah, I was there.
I didn't know that was
and
the show you
like,
were at.
And I'll be back to do 7, 8, 9. Very happy. Loves the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Just loves writing music for it. Yeah.
That's so neat.
Yeah, it was all. Yeah, it was very cool to be there to hear him say that. Tremendous guy. Very clearly, very humble.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously loved by the Boston Pops. Like,
oh, yeah.
Gloriously loved by them. I actually got to talk to the first cellist after the show.
Very cool.
Which was cool. I was just walking back to go home, and she was like, she ended up like standing next to me and walking with me. And so I said, oh, you know, you did a great job tonight, because she had a bit of a solo and blah, blah, blah. And she was, and I said, was it nice, you know, working with John Williams again? And she said, oh, yes, we just love John. It's just not the same without him.
Oh,
and, you know,
wow.
Like, and not that they don't love Keith. Keith.
Well, the current conductor.
The current conductor, yeah. Keith Lockhart.
Lockhart, yeah.
And so every time I hear Lockhart, I'm like, Professor Lockhart, you know, is that you? No? Okay. And so it was very, 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 very cool. And so anyway, so my question for you after my little story, what is your favorite John Williams score? You don't know, do you? I can see the smirk on your face. You're like, there are so many. He's been working since like 1953.
That is
I don't know.
67, actually. That's not a fair question, in all honesty. And I usually go with the obvious, predictable things.
Lost in Space theme.
Totally the Lost in Space theme. You got it. Yep.
Or the Calypso version of Gilligan's Island.
That's right. Yeah. No, I mean, I usually do, you know, the obvious thing would be to say Superman or Star Wars.
Yeah.
Or Indiana Jones, for that matter. But I think I think I actually have to say Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park is your favorite?
I think so. And that's not to say it's his best, but it's my favorite.
Interesting.
And I draw a distinction there.
Okay.
It's the one that I enjoy most for, say, sentimental reasons.
Okay.
Not necessarily because of
sentimental reasons.
That. Not because I think it's his best work, or even that it wasn't the first that I'd ever heard either. Mm. But I think Jurassic Park is one of the best scores in terms of the way that it paints a picture with the music.
Yes,
and accompanies the film.
And it's for a movie about dinosaurs massacring people in on an island, you know. It's a rather peaceful and melodic for something, for what, you know, like at the, I wouldn't say what the base of the movie's about, because the movie's really about Dr. Grant, you know, becoming a father figure.
Keep going.
Yeah, I'm okay. And so on this day here in 1867, nothing happened. Thank you all for voting for me. Anyway, and so you can keep talking if you want. Jurassic Park, brilliant, brilliant. Now, is that just your favorite theme or your favorite score?
Score.
So you love all the songs in Jurassic Park. That's what, not all, you know,
I don't love everything equally, like, you know, in all the films, but I like as a unit.
Yeah.
As a unit.
Dun, 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 da, 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 da.
Yeah. I like it as a unit. I think it's my favorite as a unit because of the way it's used in the film, the way it matches the story, and I think it just does a brilliant, brilliant job. And now, this is a very hard, very hard, unfair question. Do you have a favorite? Yeah, exactly. You asked the question. You get it?
Okay. So, yes, I
you do.
I do.
Reluctantly.
Reluctantly. Now, I, again, could choose Star Wars, Indiana Jones, blah, 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 all of those tremendous scores. Though I will say I love the theme to Indiana Jones, but I'd be hard pressed to tell you what the rest of the music sounded like in that movie.
Okay.
In those movies,
any of them? Yeah.
Star Wars, I could pull out, a measure from like 80 minutes into the second film, and be like, yeah, I know where that's from.
Yeah,
I love that. Superman has some tremendous songs in it, not just the theme, which, you know, he obeys the Superman theme. It has to say Superman in the song. Dun, 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 the Superman. Look in the sky, here's Superman. He's wearing blue.
Look, he's flying.
Up in the sky, hit a Superman. Anyway,
that's the old rule of thumb that it has. You have to be able to say Superman.
You have to,
sing Superman.
Hans Zimmer did not listen to that.
Let's not talk about that, huh?
Yeah, though it is. I actually do like that score for moments of it. It's just, John Williams gives people themes that he's just a remnant of that old style in which like. This person has a song, and this person has a song, and I'm going to play these musical motifs over and over and over and over again, so
motifs,
you know them.
Slight motifs. And it's this. It's the idea that every character or every place or every like major figure or
has
person,
music.
Place, or thing in this movie has a theme that recurs, and usually with John Williams, the themes are somehow compatible, and two themes you find out later in the film can be played in tandem together, and they fit. You know,
and that's why he's one of the one of the greatest. I could say Jaws. I'm just gonna say a lot of things I could say.
I mean, one of the things about Jaws, and I almost said Jaws is my favorite because it's elegance in simplicity, right? It's just
two notes. You have a villain.
Ba-bum.
John Williams. I believe at this concert told us that the reason he wrote Jaws the way that he did is the psychological effect. Stop it. Proving my point. His point.
The psychological fact, you never know when Tim is gonna
just stop it.
Gonna crack.
Say crack, crack.
Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
No, but it's that, that thrill.
It's the psychological effect. The idea is that the music is supposed to be your heartbeat.
Right.
And so, no, but get this. It was the brilliance of this man. The beginning of the film, it starts slow.
Right.
Ba-dum.
Right.
Okay. As the film progresses, he instantly goes to he can get, because now he conditioned you to be afraid of the music because you know what that is. So it's not the creep anymore. And so by the time you get to the crescendo portion, he can start with that.
Right.
And you're already freaking out even though nothing is happening.
Right.
Like, that's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
And that's the sign. That's the mark of good film scoring. That's the music should take a back seat, right, to the rest of the film.
Yeah.
But it should take a back seat, but it should be present and it should be noticeable even on a subliminal level. And I think that's really what he does so well. He doesn't do a lot of like Mickey Mousing where it's like the music matches the actions exactly, like the ship is flying up, so the notes are going up the scale and the ship is going down.
Right.
There's a little bit of that. You know, one moment that comes to my mind right now is in Empire Strikes Back, the Millennium Falcon. They've escaped from the Empire and they're going into, I think it's when they go into the space lug.
Okay.
But it's like the Falcon makes this interesting maneuver where it flies straight up the screen and then flips around and goes down. And the you hear the woodwinds go as the ship goes up and then down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Mickey Mousing. That's the idea of it. It's directly, music is directly mimicking the action that's on the screen.
Okay.
He does a little bit of that, but he doesn't do a lot of it, and I think that's a good thing. I think overuse of it is cheesy, and it's called Mickey Mousing for a reason.
Exactly.
It's like you watch original, old Walt Disney cartoons.
Right. It's in place of sound effects.
The music was basically the sound effects. Right. He does it in a way, like you said, he uses the themes. He has these recurring themes that come back, and you don't really notice it when you're watching the film. If you're not, the first time you watch a film, you're typically not listening for the music specifically.
Normally not. Sometimes I am, depending on like if it's a film in which I like this character needs to have theme. I will listen a little bit more.
I sat through Man of Steel waiting for a theme and never got one. But
I think I know what it is. I don't remember how it goes.
The Man of Steel one?
Yeah.
Ba-bum.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's that. There's a different one. There's like...
Oh, the drum circle. Yeah.
But anyway, we could talk about that score at a different time. You're comparing apples and oranges. I mean, Hans Zimmer's tremendous talent. It's just a different style.
Different style, yeah.
Yeah, and he can give people, on a side note, he can give people themes. I've heard him do it.
Yeah.
And so it's just that wasn't the intent in Man of Steel,
right.
I guess.
Right.
Although, as a tangent, what he did when Hans Zimmer scored the Dark Knight trilogy, he built Batman's theme up over the course of three films.
That's right.
And so maybe we're going to get that.
I'm hoping, man.
This way. I don't know. We'll find out. But I still haven't even told you my favorite yet.
Yeah.
And so all of those things, I could say Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah. Which won an Oscar for best adaptation of a score.
Because his gorgeous adaptation. His Valley of the Dolls was one of his first, was great. It's actually one of the ones that he did. It's one of the ones that he did at the concert. Close Encounters, all that stuff. Home Alone.
Yeah, Home Alone is a great score. Yeah,
great score.
Great theme and a great score.
Anyway, I go back and forth between two myself. Before I even tell you those, it's like a mystery.
Ooh.
Man of mystery. Harry Potter is not one of my favorites.
Oh, interesting.
I feel it feels like a lot of other things. And I actually think the Harry Potter scores improved over time with different composers.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like when Alexander Desplat took over and like it had a different feel. Though I do like the original theme, the original melodic theme, but because people were smart and he was smart, and like always, he took that theme and you can play it a variety of different ways.
Minor key, major key, scenes. Yeah.
It's great. I go back and forth between two. One is Hook, which is every single song is listenable.
Yeah. Beyond listenable, better than
every
listenable.
Every single one in that film. And then you don't always say that about a film, because sometimes it's like Mickey Mousing is there just to serve what's going on. But that film...
It stands alone apart from the film.
It stands alone apart from the film, whether you're talking about... Or you're talking about... when you're alone, when the little girl sings. Or when you're talking about like Hook, give him the hook. Bum bum bum, ba da dum 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 dum.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, like do 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 do. That's gonna be in my head all when I'm singing all night. I go back and forth between that and The Patriot, it's a gorgeous. People down the movie for some with this reason or that reason. I love that film in of itself. I think it's a great... Sure, it's not the most accurate version of our nation's history, but you know what? Neither is 1776, and I love that too.
Right.
You know, or National Treasure, for that matter. You know, like, nothing is accurate. JFK isn't technically accurate either.
Right.
He scored that film too. And so...
Forgot those.
Yeah. That film is... That has some... truly, truly inspired, classically colonial sounding music.
Yeah.
And I should have said that one first, because now I have the score of Hook stuck in my head and I can't exactly remember how the score of The Patriot goes, and I undid myself. It's my own fault. But, you know, of course we could talk about Schindler's List.
And that's a powerful moving score.
The whole film is powerful in of itself.
Yeah.
I mean... It's Schindler. He made lists. I mean, how could you not like
that's
it?
True.
Yeah. I love when composers team with directors where they just go back to the same people over and over and over again. And when you've got a master like John Williams scoring with a master like Steven Spielberg every frickin' time.
It's true.
Like,
can't go wrong.
No, you can't. At all. And even if some reason their films might not always be the best. They might not always be tremendous films.
But the score makes it better.
So much better. And it's so diversified. I mean, you can listen to Sabrina or Nixon and then immediately listen to The Adventures of Tintin.
Right.
And then, or Home Alone 2. Actually, it's one of my favorite It's John, not John Williams composed, but at Christmas time, mm-hmm. when the Christmas music is aplenty.
Yes.
On the Home Alone 2 Deluxe soundtrack, which I, of course, own.
Of course.
Because why listen to music from popular artists on the billboards when you have John Williams to listen to?
It's the deluxe edition, though. Yeah. So, you know.
In the film, when Kevin sneaks into the Met.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the Met. And it's John Williams with the Pops.
Yes.
Or playing at, like, the Christmas concert.
Yes.
And that score that they... The melodies from all these different carols strung together is on the soundtrack.
Mm.
It's just so...
Oh, that's
so
beautiful.
To listen to, like, Angels Wave Her on High and Come All You Faithful, mm-hmm. just, like, with this and just over and over and over again. But it's his conducting along with everything. Right. He's just fabulous.
I wonder if he wrote that arrangement.
I don't know.
I wonder. He may have.
Yeah. He may have. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me.
Right, right.
Truly, truly would not surprise me.
As much as he is a master, there is something that I've noticed in recent years, the more I listen mm-hmm. to the scores on their own apart from the films, and that is that if you listen to certain films, he went through phases, right? And he has his...
Oh, absolutely.
He definitely has his style.
Absolutely.
And there are certain tracks from, say, Superman that I actually find it difficult... if I just hear certain tracks. Now, I know there's iconic ones. You're doing Can You Read My Mind, you know, and any of, like, the major yeah. themes, obviously. But I'm talking about, like, less, like, Lois's theme or something that's less, things that are less well-known. I couldn't tell you about Lois's theme, how it goes right now.
I'm trying to think of Otis's
I guess
theme.
I guess it is Can You Read My Mind.
Boom, boom,
but, like,
boom,
boom, but you know what? Boom, like, boom, Lex down. Lex and Otis's theme.
Yeah.
Right?
The bumbling theme.
The bumbling theme, compare that to the Jawas theme.
Otisburg.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right.
There's some striking similarities there. And actually, the thing you were just humming from Hook, which mm-hmm. right now is escaping me because
bum, bum, bum.
No, no, sorry. The
Oh, it's Across the Stars, which is actually probably, if you had to pinpoint an actual song that, if you had to pinpoint one song from John Williams across the board, that is my Across the Stars is my favorite.
Yeah,
I
that's
love
great. That's great.
That song.
It's great.
So much. Yeah. I learned how to play the clarinet just to learn how to play that song.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's the only song I know how to play that's on fantastic. The clarinet. Like, I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
I just know I can play that song on the clarinet.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so, like, that's what I'm saying. And that's not a criticism of his work.
No, that's why I said Harry Potter sounds like his other stuff.
It does. Yeah,
yeah.
I would say that
it sounds Harry like Potter it sounds like Hook and it sounds like Home Alone.
Home Alone
like,
a little bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Which, I mean, like, he's got his favorite instruments.
He's got favorite instruments.
He
that's
loves
exactly
his balaclava.
Right.
He loves yep. his bells. You know,
he loves those. He has his favorite instruments. He has his favorite
time signatures and keys and yeah.
Yep, and he's got certain sort of elements like, oh, well, it's this kind of a whimsical character. This is what I think whimsy sounds like. You know, he's got
yes.
that sort of
yeah.
go to.
And
sound in his mind of
true.
What those characteristics sound like musically.
That's true. And that's how we know it's him.
Right.
You know, there are artists. I mean, it's like almost like that. It's like, this is not necessarily a comparison in the same way. Hear me out. It's like Danny Elfman.
No, I think it's
yeah,
okay. a good
okay.
comparison.
Some people don't like Danny Elfman. I really like Danny Elfman, but you know what you're
him.
Getting.
I don't. I think he's a little bit hit or miss, but. But I think that's
that.
A very good comparison.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me what the Spider-Man theme is. Yeah, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, that's it. And so
the Batman theme is good.
That was his first. No, Pee-wee's Big Adventure was his first, I think.
Okay.
And then Batman right after that.
Yeah, Batman's a great theme.
It's one of the best.
Yeah.
Actually, the whole score is actually really good. But the thing with Danny Elfman is that he keeps it's the same.
Yeah.
Where John Williams yeah. has his things like, this is what whimsy sounds like. You're right. That's true. However, Danny Elfman's like, this is what film sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a little more one note. Yeah.
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 Although he's getting...
I'm not going to hate on him.
No. I love film scores. I listen to them all the time. That's my thing. And I own most of his because I really enjoy them. But, like, you know what you're getting going in. Like, again, like, even if, like, we'll go back to Hans Zimmer, you're going to get big brass and drums because that's what he does. He loves those things.
Yep.
And so that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. If you're listening to Alexander Desplat, chances are you're going to get a piano in there somewhere. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're going to get a piano.
I love Desplat. Oh, my God.
Oh, he's so good. He's great. He's great. King's Speech, hands down.
Yeah.
One of the best scores. Anyway, we can talk about composers all we want. Do you remember what your first introduction to John Williams was?
Star Wars.
It was Star Wars. Really?
Yep. Yep. I watched Star Wars when I was about 10 years old, probably, and saw it's A New Hope on television, on WPIX Channel 11 in New York. On the telly. It was a big event. It was airing on television.
Nice.
And it was a big deal. And I don't think I knew it was John Williams at the time, necessarily, but that was, I had not seen any other, maybe I had seen Superman the movie before that, but I didn't have a very good memory of seeing it before that. So
okay,
maybe Superman the movie, but the first time that one of his pieces stuck with me was Star Wars.
Star Wars. I think mine could have been Star Wars because we had our Star Wars. We had A New Hope tape off TV.
I taped it that night and watched it to death.
Yep. I had it taped off TV
with the '90s commercials and everything.
Didn't love Star Wars growing up. It was not
interesting.
It was not
the theme or the movie.
The movie. But that's a conversation for a different day. I like Star Wars. Didn't love Star Wars. Used to think Darth Vader used to be called Dark Vader because Darth isn't a word. So right. As a little kid brain, I was like, the word is dark. You're just saying it wrong.
I thought it was Darth Invader.
Darth Invader.
Because he invades things.
I'm taking over the ship. I'm invading it.
That's what he does. Your first introduction to him, that is indeed what he does.
That's why I thought his name was Invader.
Darth Invader.
I get that. All right. He invaded that ship. All right. Oh,
okay,
cool.
Yeah. That's great. That is great.
You won't be running any more blockades.
Yeah. This is a consulate ship. Where is the ambassador?
This is not a Star Wars podcast.
No, it's not. And so I think my first introduction could have been Star Wars. I think it was Jurassic Park. Going back to Jurassic Park. I remember going to see that in theaters, which I have a fabulous story about. I'm going to save that story.
We'll probably talk about Jurassic Park one of these days. I know the story you're talking about.
Yeah.
Let's save that.
We're going to save that story.
It's a good story.
Because I've written short stories. Using that as an example, when I was in school, I've gotten A's writing stuff. Like, it's a great story.
It's a good story.
It's a great story.
Now that you've hyped it up.
Yeah, no, I know. It's going to be a terrible story. One time I saw Jurassic Park, and that was it.
Yeah.
Favorite song. I said mine, Across the Stars. I'm just going to keep doing that until you choose one. You must choose, Sheriff Woody. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go actually with from Superman. I think I'm going to have to say Planet Krypton theme.
Can't even do the Planet Krypton theme with my voice.
Dun dun. Dun dun.
Dun. I really loved actually what they did.
Actually, it's a gorgeous.
It's a beautiful, beautiful piece.
Yeah,
I love what they did in Superman Returns.
You're going to have to explain that more.
I am. Yeah. I am. I love what they did with that, where they actually brought the, I believe it's Superman Returns. Like, I could be remembering, or it might have been one of the like concert versions. So hear me out if I'm wrong. But there is one version where they take, it goes from Planet Krypton directly into the Superman theme. It goes,
Superman Returns.
It goes directly into that.
Superman Returns because the Planet Krypton theme is over the narration where it's like Superman's been gone for 5 years for no reason.
There's the text on screen and then you hear Marlon Brando
doing
that. Yes, that's right. That, and then it goes into Superman theme.
Right.
That film, I wished used a little bit more of John Williams' score.
Me too. I think John Ottman did a very nice job.
I think so, too. Also a good composer.
Yeah.
Not my favorite, but a good composer. He had some very nice melodies, actually, in that film. But it needed... I needed the bridge a little bit more apart from the theme and about four measures of Can You Read My Mind.
True. We did need Can You Read My Mind. That was missing.
It had its moment. It just like right when they're flying in the end and they're like flying up the Daily Planet building and it's like it's a point of view flying a skyward up a vertical shot. It was a great great shot, actually. Bryan Singer, what a director.
Beautiful shot,
But
the cinematography in that film was great too.
Right there, yeah. So that's good. That's interesting. I can't remember her name for the life of me right now. There's a Petra something. I want to look it up actually because it's tremendous. But she does Petra Hayden. She has an album called Petra Goes to the Movies, in which she records herself a cappella over layered tracks, and she does the Planet Krypton theme. And it's
a cappella.
It's very haunting.
I think you may have played this for me.
Very haunting. Yeah. Ooh. Play it for you. Well, that was a good plug for her. Petra Hayden. Petra Goes to the Movies. Hayden. Mm. Not that I know her, but it's fine.
Sounds like it's something worth it's promoting.
It's like 99 cents on iTunes, you know.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, John Ottman also edited Superman Returns.
I did not know that.
He's both an award-winning film composer, as well as a film editor.
What did he win for?
I don't remember what he's won for, but he's edited like he's just like John Williams is like George Lucas and Steven Spielberg's like go-to composer.
Yeah.
And he is John Ottman. John Ottman is Bryan Singer's go-to composer, but also his go-to editor.
Yes.
For many films. So he's edited the X-Men films that Singer worked on and a few others as well, including Superman Returns.
I know he did the scores to X-Men, but I didn't know that he edited them as well.
Edited and Superman as well.
What a talented man.
Yeah.
Dude, those are two big things in a film.
Yeah. Like two very, very pivotal things. But actually kind of makes sense.
Because you know the way the film's going to get edited, so you can write the music the way that you're going to edit the movie.
Or you make the edits around the music or whatever.
It's interesting.
And this actually brings me into, I know we're kind of winding down now, but before we close, I actually want to put in you plugged Petra Hayden. I want to plug a podcast called Star Wars Oxygen.
Star Wars Oxygen.
Great show.
Yes, so good.
And where their sole purpose is to go look at Star Wars movies in terms of the music in depth. They do like monthly episodes and like 3 to 5 episodes per film. And I don't want to talk about it too much, and really just go listen to those guys because they're great. But they're going through all the Star Wars films. They just at the time of this recording, they just finished doing Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah,
and
they're 2 films in out of 6.
Yeah, and they've done like 9 episodes,
right? And they'll potentially go into Clone Wars. They keep talking about Shadows of the Empire.
Yeah, they'll probably go into that eventually. But great show. Want to give them a plug because they go very in-depth into John Williams' music and the brilliance of it. But one of the things I learned from that show, which is why I mention it, is just how much things get cut from film scores and how you know, the composer has one idea because he sees the raw cut and then eventually music gets deleted or you know, an entire scene gets deleted and they retool the music somewhere else. I must imagine for John Ottman to be the composer and the editor... it must be an interesting process to, you know, be on both ends.
How much of your music is left on the cutting room floor?
I'm sure some of it still is, because the director ultimately has the final say. But that's an interesting concept, and you know, that being on the both ends of that, the beginning and the end, sort of end of that.
It's good. Yeah. Just one last question: do you remember the first John Williams album that you ever bought?
First John Williams album that I ever bought was probably the... Do you remember the Star Wars trilogy? I think it was just like the soundtrack itself was just, it was like a CD edition. That
yes,
was
called I have that. Trilogy. Yeah,
it came out I think the same time as the Star Wars VHS releases in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. That was the first
first
I had. Yep, yep.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Remember yours?
Mine was that or Hook. I can't remember which one, but truthfully, the it was actually a a compilation CD of like fantasy film scores, fantasy and sci-fi film scores. So it was like Alien and 2001 Space Odyssey and Superman and Batman and Jurassic Park and Star Wars, and they had them all on this CD.
That's great.
And so that was actually probably my first exposure to just listening to him.
Oh, interesting.
Which was great. I still have that album, actually. It's very old now, but
yeah.
Oh, it's great. Actually, it had the Ewok theme from Return of the Jedi in there.
Interesting.
It's an odd choice to throw in. But anyway, I'm going to leave you on Ewoks, you know, as did Star Wars for 30 years. and that's all I have to say. I'm not even going to I don't even have a good outline. That was my outline. So there you go. Cheers and see you next time.
We name the dog Indiana.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.